All right, Devosa, good morning. Let's begin. Exciting day. Daf Samech Gimel Amud Beis. No, it's perfect. Thank you, Steve. Okay, so we left off yesterday on Samech Gimel Amud Beis, 3, 6, 9, 10 lines up from the bottom. So if you remember again, the Gemara yesterday began with this story of these great Rabbanim who were all assembled. They were in the yeshiva in Bavel, and when they would go out, when they would get up to give the shiur, they would begin with certain things. So we saw some of Rabbi Yehuda, Rosh Hamadarim began with Kavod Torah. So now you have Rabbi Nechemya Poschen B'Chvod Achsanya. Well, so this is the concept. You know, you often hear that when people get up to speak, they say Poschen B'Chvod Achsanya. We begin with the Kavod to our host. So remember again, we saw Rashi yesterday that explains that these Rabbanim began with this because in Bavel, I think I mentioned this yesterday, the yeshiva didn't have dormitories, didn't have facilities. So where did the Talmidim stay? They stayed in the homes of the local Balabatim. So in order to go ahead and give cover to the local Balabatim, whenever they begin the shiur, they say, Posen b'chvod achsanya. So whenever you hear that concept, it comes from this particular Gemara. Shkoch, thank you. Okay. Suppose. Thank you. Suppose that from Nechemya bechvod asanya v'darish. My dichsiv vayomer shol el hakini v'chu suru redu mitoch amaleki pen osiv cho imo va'ato asiso chesed im kol bnei yisra. So the Gemara refers to the pasuk from Shmuel Aleph, where Shaul says to the Keni. Now, who are the Keni? Keni are one of the non-Jewish nations, not one of the seven indigenous nations, right? But one of the nations who were living in Eretz Yisrael. Now, the Keni we know are descendants of Yisrael. So the Navi tells us that when Shaul was going to war against the Amaleki, and against Amalek, he says to the Keni, you guys better get out of Dodge, get out of here before things get ugly. And why am I giving you this advance warning? Because you did chesed with Bnei Yisrael. Now what does it mean you did chesed? The Keni didn't do anything with Bnei Yisrael. What he's referring to is the Alter Zeda of the Keni, Yisrael, did chesed with the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, V'halo dvarm kavachomer. Umay Yisrov shelo karov es Moshe ele lichvod atzmo. Now you have to understand something. When Yisro went ahead and did whatever he did for Moshe, ultimately there was a somewhat of a self-serving purpose in all of it. Whatever Yisro did also benefited him, because whenever he displayed kavod to Moshe, Moshe Rabbeinu was also known as one of the most powerful men in the world at that time, especially given everything that happened within Eretz Yisrael, with Bnei Yisrael, when they came out of Mitzrayim. So when Yisrael did this chasodim for Moshe Rabbeinu, so ultimately there was some self-serving interest in it. Kach ha-ma'areach tam-tchocham b'soch b'so, u-ma'achilo, u-ma'ashkehu, u-ma'aneu me'nechosav alachas kama v'kama. So here you have Rabbi Nechemya talking to the Balavatim in Bavel, and saying, you know, if Yisro got all of this covet for showing this level of honor to Moshe Rabbeinu, when there was some self-serving interest in the display of this covet, all the more so all of you who take into your homes Talmidei Chachamim and feed them and give them to drink and allow them to benefit from your property, all the more so the schar that is waiting for you. Pasach Rabbi Yossi b'chvod achsanya. Rabbi Yossi also began, whenever he began his public discourse with chvod achsanya, with covet to his host, v'darash. Torah says, "Lo sisoy vedomi ki achichogu." Literally, do not afflict the Edomi, because he is your brother. "Lo sisoy mitzri ki ger hayisa ba'artzo." Don't go ahead and mistreat the Mitzri, because you were a stranger in his land. So the Gemara says, "V'halo dvarim kavachomer." Umam mitzrim shelo kirvu es Yisrael tzorech atzmon. Now, true, we were the guests of the Mitzrim in their land, right? Meaning they provided us, they hosted us. But when they first took us in, again, it was for a self-serving purpose. Shnei emar, v'im yadata v'yesh bam anshichayu, v'samtem sorry mikne al asher li. So remember, when Yosef's brothers first come down, so when he's introducing them to Paro, So the brothers, Yosef is very careful to tell the brothers, make sure you don't, Rashi points out, don't tell Paro that you're capable of fighting or he will conscript you into the army. Instead, tell them that you're shepherds. So Paro said, oh, if you're shepherds, maybe you will go ahead and herd my flocks as well. So the point over here is that when Paro first accepted them into the land, it was done with the understanding that they'll go ahead and pay their way. And yet, what do you see? Even though, despite the fact that they only took us in because it was self-serving, it served their own interests also. And despite the fact that they later on afflicted us once we were there, nevertheless, what do you see? The Torah says you have to have Hakara Satov to the Mitzri, because at the end of the day, what happened? He gave you a place to live. And at the end of the day, if he gave you a place to live, you have to have Hakara Satov. So therefore, says the Gemara, or says Rabbi Yossi, therefore, all the more so, one who hosts the Talmid Chacham in his home, Uma Achilo, Uma Shkehu, Ume Haneo Minachasav, and he gives him to eat, and he gives him to drink, and he allows him to benefit from his property, Alachas Kama Vakama, all the more so the schar that such a person gets. Pasach Rabbi Eliezer Benosh Rabbi Yossi Haglili Bichvol Dachsanyam. Rabbi Eliezer, the son of Rabbi Yossi Haglili, also began with Kavod to his host, Vidarash. Vaivarech Hashem es Oved Edom. Ba'avur Arona Elokim. So we'll say this is talking about the episode here. The quotes over the Gemara from Shmuel, the passage from Shmuel Beis, that David HaMelech was bringing the Aron to Yerushalayim, and this was the famous story with Uzzah, where the Aron begins to shift off the wagon, and Uzzah, meaning well intentioned, tries to go ahead and keep the Aron on the wagon. He touches the Aron, and he dies. That's why the Navi says they call that place Peretz Uzzah, right? The breach of Uzzah. So when Uzzah died, that obviously diminished the Simcha incredibly. David HaMelech was very nervous to bring the Aron to Yerushalayim, and so there was a guy by the name of Oved Edom. How he got the name Oved Edom is a different Maisa. But they kept the Aron in the home of Oved Edom. So the Gemara relates that there were, as a result of having the Aron in his home, Oved Edom had incredible blessing within his home. Vayivarech Hashem es Oved Edom ba'avur Aron Elokim. That Oved Edom had incredible bracha because he housed the Aron. So the Gemara says, v'halo dvarim kavachomer. Now this, the matter is the kavachomer. What's the kavachomer? Uma Aron shelo achal v'shasa ela kibed v'ribatz lefanav. So now when it came to the Aron, Oved Edom didn't have all that much he had to do. He didn't have to feed the Aron. He didn't have to give the Aron to drink. But rather, what did he do? He had to act in a respectful manner. Ravatz means he had to sprinkle water on the floor in order to keep the dust down. I suppose say, you know, in dirt floors, so you sprinkle a little bit of water so that the dust doesn't rise. So that's all he had to do. There was no real financial outlay involved in being mechabed the Aron. And yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu blessed him. Kacha ma'areach tamt chacham besoch beso. Uma'achilo, uma'ashkehu, umehanehu minechasav. Therefore, all the more so, someone who hosts a tamt chacham and literally gives him to eat, gives him to drink, allows the benefit of his property. So there is a financial outlay. Alachas kama v'kama. All the more so a person will get such a schar. So we'll say again, this is all of these Rabbanim were giving chizuk to their hosts. It was Mesiras Nefesh on the part of the host to spend this money to house these Talmidei Chachamim. And again, they're just being given chizuk just to show there's going to be incredible schar. Mayhi bracha sheberchu. What was the bracha that Obed Edom's house got as a result? Amrav Yehuda bar Zvida zu chamos. The Cheskaleh, listen to this. Sheyoldu Shisha Shisha Bekeres Echad. The bracha was that Oved Edom's wife literally calls her the mother-in-law. The mother-in-law and her eight daughters-in-law, right? So Oved Edom, I guess, had eight sons. So the mother and the eight daughters-in-law, listen to this, gave birth to six babies at a time. Six babies. That was the bracha. Mother-in-law and eight kalas and eight six babies at a time. Shisha shisha bekeres echad. Shene emar. See, so quotes over here from the pasuk from Divrei Hayomim. Pa'alti hashmini ki baruchu Elokim. Upsiv ki baruchu Elokim. Kol eleb mibnei Oved Edom hema ubneiem va'achim anshi ishchayel bekoach la'avoda shishim ushnayim la'Oved Edom. That there were 62 members of Oved Edom's house. The Gemara says, you see from here, again, the incredible bracha that he experienced as a result of housing the Aron. Amr Rabbi Abin Alevi, Kol Adoche Kes Asha, Sha'a Doch Kaso. It was a very profound Gemara. Whoever tries to push the hour, the hour pushes him back. Now what does that mean? What the Gemara over here is highlighting is the following Yisrael, was like that in life, so timing is everything. And sometimes there could be something you're supposed to do, but it's not just enough to do the right thing, it has to be the right thing at the right time. And if you try to do the right thing, but it's the wrong time, so time will prevent you from actualizing your goals. That means, kladochik es hasha, literally means whoever pushes the hour pushes him back. But whoever, now literally what this means is whoever allows himself to be pushed by the hour, the hour will be pushed in front of him. In other words, whoever is smart enough to know when to yield because the timing is not right, so there will come a time where time itself will yield to him. It's actually interesting. If you look at Rashi for just a moment, Rashi says, Hadochik es hasha kigon avshalom. Shepikesh limloch bechazak. It's actually interesting that the Gemara gives the example of Avshalom. Avshalom was the son of David HaMelech, who felt that it was his destiny to reign. Felt that it was. Now I will say you have to appreciate one thing. Now, so Avshalom of course rebels against his father, and Avshalom dies. He dies in the midst of his rebellion. Now, you have to appreciate one interesting thing. Throughout Jewish history, at least as biblical history, so rebellions were led by great people. Generally, these are people who are capable of incredibly great things. What the Gemara is just saying is, their timing is just off. The paradigmatic example of this, of course, is Korach. Right? Korach saw b'nevuah that he was going to have a great descendant, and he was right. And who was his descendant? Shmuel HaNavi. Shmuel HaNavi, right? And David HaMelech says about Shmuel HaNavi that Shmuel was the equivalent of Moshe and Aaron, right? Moshe and Aaron b'Koranav, Shmuel b'Kori Shmuel. He was... But what happens is that Korach wasn't smart enough to know that the timing wasn't right. Yes, there was greatness in his family, but it wasn't to be from him. It was from to be a great great grandchild. So the Gemara is just, so it's very very interesting. So these great people who try to seize the reins of greatness, greatness is in their veins. The timing is just the interesting nuanced part. So the Gemara gives an example of this. The Gemara says, Midrabba Rav Yosef. Listen to this. So the Gemara gives an example of the story of Rabba and Rav Yosef. What happened with Rabba and Rav Yosef? The Rav Yosef Sinai, the Rabba Oker Harim. Rav Yosef was a Sinai, and Rabba was an Oker Harim. Now what's the pshat? Take a look at Rashi on one side. Rashi says, I'm going to skip a little bit in the Rashis, we'll have to come back. But you see Rashi Sinai, Hayakorin Rav Yosef, Shayaboki Bebraisos Harbe. Rav Yosef was known as a Sinai, meaning he was Sinaitic in that he had encyclopedic knowledge. He knew everything. On the other hand, Rabba was an Oker Harim. Rabba was an uprooter of mountains. Rashi says, the Rabba Bar Nachmani, Shahaya Mechudad Yosef Bepilpul. So Rabba has stronger analytical skills. So Rav Yosef had voluminous knowledge. Rabba had strong analytical skills. So Rav says, so listen to this. Itzricha lehu shaita. The hour required them. Shalchu lahasam Sinai va'oker harim. Eza mehem kodem. So listen to this. They needed a Rosh Yeshiva in Babel. So they sent word to Eretz Yisrael, we need a Rosh Yeshiva. The two outstanding Talmidei Chacham of the generation were Rav Yosef and Rabba. Right? Rav Yosef was a Sinai, Rabba was an Oker Harim. Rav Yosef, encyclopedic knowledge. Rabba, incredibly sharp analytical skills. So they sent to Eretz Yisrael, who should we take? Should we take Sinai, or should we take Oker Harim? Right? Which one should we take for the job? Sholchu lehu. So the message, so remember, Rabba and Rav Yosef at this time are living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Rabban of Eretz Yisrael sent back, we think you should offer the job, Sinai kodem. Sinai is more important, right? Sinai comes first. Why? Shakol tzrichin l'marichatya. Because everyone needs the wheat salesman. Or another will say, what does that mean? Analytical skill is very nice, right? But if you don't have the knowledge, right? If you don't have the information, the analytical skills are not going to do you all that much good. Well, this is what we saw yesterday, right? On the pasuk of Haskes Ushma, right? Haskes Ushma. That's what? That one of the drushes the Gemara made was for, no. Was it Haskes Ushma? Where the Gemara spoke about the idea of first ingesting the information. Yeah, Haskes Ushma. Right? First ingest the information and then ultimately then analyze it afterwards. So they went ahead, they dispatched Eretz Yisrael, and they said, go ahead and offer the job to the Sinai, because everyone needs a Sinai. Because if you have the Sinai, you at least have all the information. So listen to this. And Rosai, so according to that, therefore the job would have gone through Rabbi Yosef. Rabbi Yosef was the Sinai. Nevertheless, Achal Pikein, Lo Kibel Alav Rabbi Yosef. Nevertheless, Rabbi Yosef did not accept the position. Why? The Omri Le Kaldoi, because he heard from the Kaldoi. Now, look at Rashi for just a moment. The Omri Le Kaldoi, the Rabbi Yosef. Now, the Kaldoim were non-Jewish sorcerers who apparently were expert interpreters of the astrological signs. So he heard from the Kaldoim, Malach to Tartin Shnin. So he heard from the Kaldoim that if you accept this position, you have Rosh Hashiva and Baal, you're going to have it for 2 years and then you're going to die. You're going to die, meaning that you only have your destiny for greatness in leadership is only 2 years. So if you take it now, you're going to die. Most of there's a whole shaila in terms of, did he seek out this advice? The Maharsha, for example, takes the approach that he didn't seek out the advice from the Kaldoim, but rather they went ahead and offered it to him. So the Maharsha says, halacha l'maaseh, you're not allowed to seek out this advice, but if you hear this advice, you don't have to ignore it. Especially apparently if the Kaldoim were known, there is a, there, you know, when we think about astrology, you know, we think about Madam, whatever, you know, dial 888, you know, and she'll come and read your tarot cards and your palm. But there is a real chachma to astrology. There is, we don't have this anymore, but there was such a chachma like this. That's why again you see when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Avram Avinu and he changes his name from Avram to Avraham. It's not just a nice vart. So right, Rashi points out that say me it's tagninos shalcha. Leave your astrological sign and embrace a different destiny. So Rav Yosef hears that according to the astrological signs, he's going to have a 2 year run appearance, and then he's going to die. So he doesn't accept the position. What happened? Malach Rabo Esrin V'Tartin Shnin. So as a result, when Rav Yosef did not accept the position, they offered it to Rabo, and Rabo was Rosh Yeshiva for 22 years. After Rabo died, they then came to Rav Yosef, and they offered Rav Yosef the position again. At this point, then he was significantly older. He accepted. Malach Rav Yosef Tartin Shnin Upalga. Also, what's interesting is the Kaldoim originally told him how long was he going to rule for? 2 years. It turns out that apparently, although the Gemara doesn't say it explicitly, that by not pushing the hour, he was zochet to have that extra half a year. Malach Tartin Shnin Upalga. Kol Hanach Shani de Malach Rabba. So now the Gemara just jumps back. All of the years that Rabba was Rosh Yeshiva, and Rav Yosef was not, Afilu Umana Lebeise Lokara. So Rav Yosef did not accept any trappings of leadership. Meaning one might have thought that since he was approached for the head position in Bavel, that maybe he would conduct himself a little bit more of a regal bearing. Kamashon, that all the years that he was not the Rosh Yeshiva, literally, he would not even summon the blood letter to his house. Meaning that he would go to the blood letter. I guess important people of the blood letter came to house call, right? So again, prominent people didn't have to go to the blood letter came to them. Kamashon, that when he refused the position, he wouldn't accept any trappings of greatness. He would go to the blood letter just like everybody else. Take a look at Rashi. Rashi says, Malach de Tartin Shnin Amar im emloch tchila amos l'sof shnatayim. So he said, if I go ahead and accept the position, I'll die at the end of 2 years. V'nitcha mitnei hashah. And he allowed himself to be pushed aside because of the hour. V'lo ava limloch v'hashah amdalo. And amazingly enough, because he did not push it, the hour waited for him. Shelo hifsid shnosav v'kach. So ultimately, he had his opportunity to be the Rosh Yeshiva, but he was able to do it after having lived already a longer life, accepted the position knowing full well that he would die in that position. Ultimately, the Gemara using this as a rabbi will say, it's an incredible life, Musar. And this, I think, is one of the hard... First of all, just look at Rashi. Umna lebeise lokare, lo nohag kol osa sharm shum tzad surara. He did not conduct himself with any air of authority all of those days. Ukeshaya tzarek lahakis dam, when he had to do bloodletting, haya holich lebeise harofe, he went to the house of the doctor, velo haya sholeach lavo elav. And he did not send for the doctor to come to him. So we'll say, one of the most difficult lessons in life, especially in the society we live in. We live in a time of instant gratification, where everyone wants everything now. And the truth is, some things you're not supposed to have now. Some things you're supposed to wait for, and one of the most difficult things in life is knowing when you're supposed to try harder to get what you want now versus when you're supposed to hear the message from above and say, you know what, maybe now is not the right time. This is one of the greatest challenges in life. What the answer is, So sometimes we only know the right answer in retrospect. But at least we see from here that there are certain things where, even though it's a very noble pursuit and something we should accomplish, sometimes we have to push the hour and sometimes we have to yield before the hour. What does it mean when it says, when the Pasuk says, Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara, Yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov, Elohei Yaakov, v'lo Elohei Avraham b'Yitzchok. So interestingly enough, so the Pasuk says Hashem will answer you on your day of suffering. Yisagev Hashem Elohei Yaakov. So why Dafka is God referred to as the God of Yaakov? What about the God of Avraham and Yitzchok? Listen to this profound idea. Mikan, we learn from here, Lebala Korah, Sheyichnas be'avya shel Korah. So Bosai literally translated, it means that the owner of the beam has to carry the major weight of the beam. Meaning if you're asking people to help you carry a beam, and it's your beam, so you know, you can't go ahead and stand by the side and say, okay guys, I'm going to direct traffic, I'm going to supervise, right? Move it over here, a little bit over here. No, if it's your beam, you have to take the responsibility for carrying the weight of the beam. Just like, interestingly enough, when the Torah speaks out the mitzvah of prikotina, the mitzvah of helping to unload or load an animal, right? If an animal is struggling with this load, the Gemara brings down that halacha l'maisa, if the owner is not participating in the prika and ti'ina, in the putting on or the taking off of the load, you are putter from helping as well. If the owner doesn't shoulder the responsibility, no one else is obligated. So what does this mean? What does that do with Yaakov? Let's take a look at Rashi. Sheyochaz ba'ov Yaakov, Rashi says, you have to hold the thickest part of the beam. In balataltal mimakom lamakom, l'sita mabinyon. If you want to move your beam from place to place to use it for building, you, the owner, have to shoulder the bulk of the weight. And therefore, kilomar, Yaakov shekol abanim shalo, v'torach bigidulam, yivakish aleim rachamim. So here's the amazing part. Yes, we're the children of Avram, children of Yitzchak, but the truth is, our closest connection is to Yaakov Avinu. Because Yaakov is the father of the 12 Shvatim. So therefore what we say is, Yancha Hashem Yom Tzara. When it's a day of difficulty, a day of suffering, who do we reach out to? We reach out to Elokei Yaakov. It's another way of saying, Yaakov Avinu, help us. Because you are more, this is, we're your being. We're your being. We're your children. We're the Shvatim. So in a time of distress, we reach out to Elokei Yaakov more than Elokei Avram and Elokei Yitzchak. V'am Rabbi Avin Halevi. So Rabbi Avin Halevi says, anyone who benefits, who enjoys, right, from a suda that a Talmud Chacham is, that a Talmud Chacham is part of, ki'ilu ne'ene mizivashkin. That was an amazing Gemara. So if you go ahead and have the privilege to sit at a suda with a Talmud Chacham, it's as if you are sitting at a suda benefiting from the Shechina itself. Where do we know that? From Shneamar. Vayavo Aaron v'chol zikne Yisrael le'echol lechem im chosin Moshe l'tnei ha'elokim, because the pasuk says that Aaron came with all of the elders of Israel to eat bread with chosin Moshe, with the father-in-law of Moshe l'tnei ha'elokim, before Elokim, before God. V'chil l'tnei ha'elokim achlu. Now there also, this is Parshas Yisrael, right? When Yisrael joins the Jewish people, they have this big suda. And the point that Gemara is making is that it's phrased that they have the suda before God. So they're eating the suda before God. They're not eating with God, they're eating with Moshe. Rather, what do you see from here? What do you see from here, Rabbosai? That's when you go ahead and you partake in a suda with a Talmud Chacham, then ultimately, it's as if you are partaking of the Su'uda together with the Shechina itself. V'omer Rabbi Avin HaLevi. Rabbi Avin HaLevi says the following, another interesting halacha. Haniftar mechavero, when someone is taking leave from his friend, al yomar lo leich lishalom, ela leich bishalom. Well, it's a very important yisod. When you take leave of your friend, don't tell him leich lishalom, which literally means go to peace, right? Go to peace, lishalom, ela leich bishalom. Rather, go with peace, or go in peace. Shene emar, and now you'll say, what's the chilek? Shene emar, va'ata tavo el avosecha bishalom. See, the Bosek, because apparently the lashon of bishalom, in peace, or with peace, is a lashon of death. Is a lashon of death. As opposed to leich lishalom, go to peace, which ultimately means that all of your future endeavors, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, should be shrouded in peace. Leich bishalom, go in peace, or with peace, ultimately means death. But and look at Rashi, I'm sorry. Amar Rabbi Levi Barchiya. Yes, I am. I'm sorry. Elalishon, Shahari Yisro, thank you. Shahari Yisro, Sha'amar Lamosha Lech Lishalom, Allah Vehitzliach. Because Yisro said to Moshe, Lech Lishalom, go to peace. Moshe then went on and succeeded. David Shamalo Avshalom Lech Bishalom, but David Amalek, who said to Avshalom to go with peace, Halach Vinitla, ultimately died. The Gemara, of course, is not blaming David HaMelech for Avshalom's death. What it's saying is that this type of lashon foreshadows a type of death. Similarly, the Gemara says, "Well, Amar Rabbi Levi, Amar Rabbi Avin Alevi, Haniftar Min Ames." When someone takes leave of the dead, Al Yomer Lo, Haniftar Min Ames, Al Yomer Lo Lech Bish Lech Lishalom, Ela Lech Lishalom. Amar Rabbi Avin Halevi, Haniftar Min Ames. Someone takes leave of the dead. Al yomar lo lech lishalom, ela lech bishalom. Don't tell him to go to peace, but rather tell him to go in peace, with peace. Shene emar va'ata tavo el avosecha bishalom. Take a look at Rashi. Hanifta min ames. Rashi says kishahayu molichim aronos imakom lamakom. When they would transport coffins from one place to the next, the kvura for burial purposes, hayu melavin osu mi'ir li'ir v'chozrim elu v'achirim melavin osu misham v'hala. So here's what was interesting, is apparently when they would bury people, I guess at a distant location, so people often wouldn't accompany the mace the entire time, you would have people who would take over at different legs of the journey. So what would happen is, so the one, let's say, started the journey would then turn back, and then another group would come to escort the dead, misham bahala, v'achozrim kari niftarim, notlin rishus lehi patra mimenu. And interestingly enough, those who were no longer being melaveh the mace, those who were no longer escorting the dead, would take leave of the dead, and they would say to the dead, lech bishalom. Right? So the Gemara is just saying, when you take leave of the dead, say lech bishalom. And what's the raya for that? Shene emar va'ata tavo al avosecha bishalom. And the raya that we bring from that, is the pasuk in Bereishis, right? This is HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaking to Avram Avinu, telling him that he will come, he will come to his forefathers, right? Bishalom. So we see from there that the word Bishalom is used in the context of death.
Can you see that for the rest for them tonight?
We'll do one more. Amar Rabbi Levi Barchio, and then we'll stop. Hayotse mi beis hakneses. If someone leaves shul, v'nichnas lebeis hamedrash, right, and go, you can read it again, right, and goes into the beis hamedrash right afterwards. Va'osek b'torah and learns Torah zocha u'mekabel pnei hashchina. Ultimately, he is privileged and is able to receive the shchina shene emar yelchu mechayil el chayil yira elokim el elokim b'tzion. So means that the Gemara says, we'll spend more time on this tonight, I guess. So the Rabbi Levi says, Barchia says that when someone leaves shul, may I have to understand what's happening over here. What he's talking over here is, you're leaving shul, what happens in the Beis HaKnesses is tefillah. If a person leaves tefillah and goes from tefillah ultimately to Talmud Torah, and so there's a juxtaposition between one's prayer dialogue with God and one's learning, which represents intellectual interface with God, Zochu Mekabal Pnei Hashchina. This is a recipe, ultimately, to be Mekabal, the Pnei Hashchina, which represents the highest level of relationship, because one is using their heart, and one is using their mind in relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and here the Gemara quotes the Pasuk from Tehillim, Yelchu Michael Achayel, one will go from one accomplishment to another accomplishment, Yeroa El Elohim B'Tzion, and one will be privileged to see HaKadosh Baruch Hu in Tzion. Alright, we'll say, we'll stop over here, Tzashem, we'll leave the remaining lines for the Siyum tonight.